We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, does a great job covering the NFL for Newsday. And, of course, has his great book out, Guts and Genius, about the three great coaches in the 80s, Bill Walsh, Bill Parcells, and Joe Gibbs. And I think we're going to have a new book for Adam Gase called I Am the Genius. We'll have that. Adam Gase, I Am the Genius. Like the Beatles and I Am the Walrus, it'll be I Am the Genius, cuckoo kajoo. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, here is Bob Glauber. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm highly entertained right now, Joe. That was some segue. That was brilliant. Brilliant.
Let's start, Bob. Let's start. And by the way, the book is great. Let me just say that again.
If you are a football guy,
if you're a football fan like I am, or you know that kind of thing, or just to want to look back, if you didn't see, you know, weren't alive for the 80s, and you want to read some tremendous stuff, it's a great book. Walsh, Parcells, and Gibbs, and that was a great decade, which of course was dominated by the NFC, as we all know. But anyway, let's get back to the genius Adam Gase. I mean, this guy. You know, I mean, think that, you know, they win three in a row, you're a little, you know, you get a little glimmer, you're a little excited, they score 34 points in each game, and I understand they beat the Giants and the Redskins along the way, but, and obviously the Raiders are showing that they're a phony team as well. Okay, that's all well and good. And then they go play this winless Bengals team, and Bob, I'm telling you, man, all week I knew they were not winning this game. And 10 minutes into the game, I mentioned it to Ty Montgomery, I knew they were dead. I knew they were not winning. I mean, 10 minutes into the game, I knew they weren't winning this game.
Yeah.
Why does this happen all the time with this franchise, Bob?
Well, I mean, now we're going decades-long
examination
here. But I know. You were getting a little tingly after those three wins, weren't you?
I felt a little tingly.
Here's
what I thought. I figured, okay, maybe we – here's what my thought was. I knew we didn't have a coach, but I'm saying to myself, maybe we got a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, that's the mark of an inconsistent team. I mean, they're not good enough. And when you lose – I figured – all right, the warning was losing to the 0-7 Dolphins on the road. All right, this can't possibly happen again, 0-11. Now, the move back to Dalton was a little, not scary, but like, okay, they got a guy who is going to be obviously motivated. He's just not that good. But, you know, they can catch lightning in a bottle early on, and that's what happened. And, you know, their defense played exceptionally well. What is it with the Jets? Oh, my God. It's just like, Joe, you're cursed. You know, your life is cursed. You know, thank God you lived to see Joe Namath.
Yes, thank God for that.
Do what he did. Thank God, right?
No, of course.
Most Jet fans didn't have that opportunity. So, I mean, it's one thing after another. I mean, you know, if you boil it down to this year, Christopher Johnson, I think he went out on a limb in saying what he did publicly about Adam Gase, giving him the vote of confidence. And already they win three games, and okay, you know, it's looking like the heat is off, but I wouldn't say the heat's back on. I just don't think there will be a coaching change made, but, you know, you have to put this on him, and you have to put this on the staff and the players. They were not ready to beat a terrible team, and that's on everybody. And, you know, the coach has got to take that. Any coach worth his salt is going to accept it. You know, Doug Peterson said this, a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday, hey, lack of discipline, lack of preparedness, it's on me. And if you're a coach that – you know, has any pride and you know, self, whatever, you got to take it on yourself. And that's true. And Adam Gase did not do a good job in getting his team ready, and he didn't do a good job in calling the plays, and, you know, it was a mess from the start.
Well, look, when you go up against a team, forget that they hadn't won a game. Here's a team that's given up 170 yards a game running a football against them. And this guy refuses to run the ball.
I know.
I mean, it makes me delirious. It really does. It's ridiculous.
You know, strategy-wise, Joe, on that count, that's that's where he went really horrifically wrong. You know, you gotta stop trying to prove that, you know, the passing game is going to do it and you're going to be the fancy pants guy calling plays. Just go with what works. And the numbers were so skewed to the Bengals giving up massive quantities of yardage on the against the run. And if you don't take advantage of that, hey, shame on you.
Unbelievable. And I tell you, I wouldn't be surprised they lost the last four games. I mean, think about it. You got Miami this week. All right, you should beat Miami, but they already lost to them once. And Miami's playing.
Yep,
Miami's very dangerous. They're a dangerous team.
You know, Miami.
They're dangerous.
I tell you what, you got to like what you see from Brian Flores.
No question about it.
He's got the look. They obviously deconstructed that roster in a very big way. You know, you get rid of your franchise left tackle, get picks, and you know they're building obviously a future.
Right.
But the guy has his players believing, and he's got a great background growing up in the organization that is, you know, the gold standard for the NFL in New England. He's and the players really seem to like him. And that trick play down near the goal line you know, that was great. And this team is going to be fun, I think. I hope they're patient with Brian Flores. I think they will be. But, yeah, you can't take this team for granted this week. I mean, you're playing at home. You should be better. You got to be, you know, you're in bounce back mode at four wins. Come on. So it's got to go better. And I was looking at, all right, with the three wins in a row, you figure, all right, if they win a couple more, they go into Baltimore at 6-7.
Right.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Right.
Now it's not going to happen.
Of course. And they're going to get killed by the Ravens. We know that. And
sure.
And then after that, they play the Steelers at home.
Yep.
And a Buffalo team that, to me, and I want to get your feeling on Buffalo. To me, they're the wild card in the AFC because they still got a shot to win that division. They play New England again. Now they play the Ravens at home this week, which is going to be a real barometer game. Forget the Dallas game. This is going to be a real barometer game for the Bills. To me, the Bills are the wild card team in the AFC because I don't know exactly yet how good they are. What do you think about Buffalo, Bob?
You know, I still want to see more from Buffalo. I think what they did on Thanksgiving was impressive. Look, they beat a Dallas team, you know, playing in Dallas that was desperate for that win, and they beat them decisively. Really good, reliable defense that is kind of exciting to watch because that's really the heart of their team right now. And Josh Allen just seems to be getting better a little bit incrementally, but he is, you know, he is more trustworthy now with the football. And we all know he's got a cannon for an arm. I mean, I was there at the combine when he was working out, and I'm telling you, the crowd, there was a limited crowd at Lucas Oil Stadium. Mm-hmm. He threw a 70-yard bomb that, like, hit the receiver in stride. Like, whoa! But that's not what the NFL is. You know, the NFL is 15-yard out, 15-yard in, hitch route.
Right.
And he's doing that better, and that's a great sign for them. And, you know, when he ran for the first down after fumbling and got up pumping his fist, man, you know, that's really important stuff for a team and for a quarterback, and they obviously believe in the guy. You're right. They are, they are literally the wild card right now. But, you know, if New England, we don't know what's happening with New England. You know, has Brady hit a wall, or is he just scuffling and he's going to kind of turn it on down the stretch? I don't know, man. I think there are legitimate warning signs in New England, and Buffalo would be the team to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, we'll see exactly, you know, what they are. They're an interesting team. And I'll tell you, the other thing, too, you may go back to Thanksgiving Day watching that game against Buffalo, and I am sick to my stomach watching Ed Oliver, okay? Ed Oliver, like, just disrupt this game like he did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We got Quinnen Williams. The guy has yet to make a tackle this year. I mean, how does it happen, Bob, that only my franchise could draft guys from Alabama, D. Milner, the other one, and they stink? And they stink. They stink. How is it possible?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not going to listen.
Come on.
Joe, I'm going to do you a favor. Okay.
Do me a favor, Bob.
I'm not going to mention Quentin Coples.
Vernon Golston, you want to throw him in there? How about him?
Golston.
Forget about him. How about Calvin Pry? How about Leonard Williams?
I know.
What? How about Darren Lee, Bob? Where's he? Was he in a witness protection program now?
I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. I will say this, Joe. Your namesake, Joe Douglas, I am cautiously optimistic that he is
right.
A good personnel guy who will straighten it out. Look, he was raised right, all right, in Baltimore or Chicago before that, but Baltimore and – Philadelphia are two franchises where if you're good, you're learning from some of the best executives up top. And I think that if he is capable, then there'll be a decent chance that they're not going to make these kind of really franchise
killing,
demoralizing
yes.
mistakes. Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It really is. We're talking to Bob Glauber of Newsday, who does a great job covering the NFL and again his book Guts and Glory. You got to check it out, about the great coaches of the 80s, Parcells, Gibbs, and Bill Walsh. All right, let's talk about the Giants right now. I mean, if I'm the Giants, you got to get Pat Shurmur out of here. I mean, he's a terrible coach. They've lost 8 in a row. Let's be real about this. There's no sugarcoating anything with this guy. I don't care if they win a couple games going forward. I know they got to, you know, he played the Eagles twice, and who knows what the Eagles are, but, you know, Washington, Miami, this guy can't come back, can he?
I would be surprised if he is back. I think he had a chance, even though we're like, say, halfway through the losing streak. You know, if they kind of turned it around, if Daniel Jones continues to improve, they get a little bit better, but incrementally better. They're just not getting better. I mean, nobody on that team is getting better, and the team is not getting better. And, you know, John Mara is up there in the owner's box watching his team lose badly to a Packers team where there are probably more many Packers fans, saying go Pack go in his own stadium. I think those moments really stick with a guy who's in a position to make a decision, and it's going to be hard to justify it.
Is it Mike McCarthy the guy? I mean, I wanted Mike McCarthy for the Jets, of course. That's the guy I would have hired. But, you know, of course, Christopher Johnson, he knows better. So, okay, so that said, if I'm John Mara, you can't bring a first-time head coach in here again. I can't see that happening. And I think you got to bring a guy in. I know Shurmur had coached in Cleveland, but you got to bring a guy in now with a resume, don't you, if you're the Giants?
Yeah, I think you do in one respect, Joe, but he's got to hit a home run here because now this is now 2 in a row John Mara's gotten wrong, right? And 3, if you say, well, he pushed Coughlin out too soon, but I don't know. Maybe it was time for Tom Coughlin to go at that point. But, you know, McCarthy, I was very high in him for the Jets. I know that his interviews didn't go well. He did not impress Mike Maccagnan, say what you will about that, and he did not impress Christopher Johnson. So it was just like not close, from what I'm told, mm-hmm. that he was just not going to get that job. So they wanted to go younger. They wanted to go, you know, experienced but younger, and that's what Gase is. And now we'll see how that works out. You got to wait at least a year at this point. You know, he saved it. So you can go McCarthy. It's a safe route. There's one guy out there that really intrigues me, and that's Matt Rhule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, he's done a great job at Baylor. He did a great job at Temple before him. And here's the one thing about Rhule. The Giants know him.
Mm-hmm.
He coached as an assistant offensive line coach in 2012. This is the year after they won the Super Bowl. Coughlin hired him. Players loved him. The staff loved him, right? Guy's a leader. Guy has rebuilt programs twice now in college. And I think that's going to be an awfully tempting target. They'll look at Josh McDaniels, but I think they're going to get a little nervous about McDaniels.
No.
He's tough, right? After he left the Colts at the altar, it's a tough one.
You think the Colts are upset that they wound up with Frank Reich over
there?
No,
they're happy
of
it
course.
Worked out. Like,
of course,
sure,
they, of
sure.
course they are.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting hiring cycle. I think they'll have less pressure with more teams. You know, I don't think there'll be a ton of teams with coaching changes. We'll always get a couple of surprises here and there, but I don't think it's going to be one of those 8 new positions. So I think the Giants will have their pick. And listen, it's an appealing place to work. And it's a big stage. Matt Rhule, by the way, is from New York. So the guy kind of knows the market. That's the one intriguing one as far as a first-time NFL coach that I'm going to look at. And, you know, I think you have to look at colleges now because you're running out of options a lot in the NFL. I mean, there was a definite bias against college coaches coaching in the NFL, but I think that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury opened things up a little bit. Jimmy Johnson did it before him to some degree. So, you know, this supply and demand, it's not much of a supply.
Yeah, and you can't hire Jason Garrett. I mean, that's delusional.
No.
I mean, if you're the Giants, you got to be out of your mind to hire him.
If you hire him, if they hire him, that is such a tough sell.
Oh, my
You're
God.
You're going to hire a guy who was fired because he couldn't get more out of a talented roster.
Yep.
What do you – you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you again. We're talking to Bob Glauber. All right, let's talk a little bit about the NFC here for a second. Let's talk about the NFC East, which has turned out that all you need to know about the NFC East is the Jets are 3-1 against the NFC East, and maybe it would have been 4-0 if Darnold wasn't hurt for the Eagle game. So that tells you all you need to know. Who wins that division in your mind?
I still think Dallas comes out and wins the division, and I think that's a big reason that Jerry Jones is not making an in-season move. I mean, you know, for all of Jones's aggressiveness and impatience, the guy, I believe it, he has never fired a coach in season. And that's going to be the case, and I think because they've got a legitimate chance to win it. I think there's too much talent there. I think they'll – and Philadelphia is just stumbling like crazy. You see Dallas lose on Thanksgiving Day, you go into Miami and you lose? I mean, what's happening there, right? They're discombobulated. They're a mess. So I do think Dallas kind of wins the war of attrition, and, you know, it's not backing into the playoffs, but they're going to be one of those 8-8 type teams winning the division and getting in that way.
And let's be honest about this, and this is always the scary thing, and this is, you know, and this goes for Darnold, because I really don't know what Darnold is yet. But you got all these guys that were high-drafted quarterbacks that, you know, maybe they aren't that good. I mean, what, Carson Wentz, Trubisky, Mariota's not even playing anymore. How about what Tannehill's doing? Even Jameis Winston, who's had, you know, he's had his ups and downs this year. But, I mean, you got all these guys out there that you think are franchise quarterbacks. Now maybe you find out that they're not really franchise quarterbacks, and now you're set back how many more years?
Yeah, and look at Ed Goff in Los Angeles.
Him too.
He's coming off a good game this week, but, you know, he's not done well against good teams, and he's not done well since Todd Gurley's, you know, kind of injuries have limited the play-action pass. But there is an issue with quarterback development. You've got to be able to hit it, and the best-case scenario is you hit it when the quarterback is young, and you can win a Super Bowl in that first, you know, that's what they did with Flacco in Baltimore. It's what they did with Seattle and Russell Wilson. But Wilson's a legitimate star.
Oh, God.
And, you know, he's going to play till he's 40, and he's going to be great. So, listen, it's the hardest position in sports to fill with the right guy, and you just got to grind it out and deal with it over time. And Mariota is done in Tennessee. There's no question about that. Tannehill playing well.
Yep, yep.
But look at Tannehill. You know, he flamed out in Miami, and then all of a sudden now he's thriving because he's older and he's more experienced. You know, there's just nothing that can replace experience. And when you're willing to hang in there and gut it out and get to the other side for a quarterback, the other side, 26, 27, if you can kind of take advantage of knowing the game better, it'll work out for you. And that's, I think, is what's happening with Tannehill, and that's happened traditionally with a number of quarterbacks. I'd never forget talking to guys like, you know, Steve Young, Phil Simms, mm-hmm. Montana, mm-hmm. the great ones. Phil Simms once said, you know, I didn't know anything until I was 30. I go, what? He says, yep. Until I hit 30, I was just running around. You know, you play on talent. But once you're 30 and you know the game, intellectually you can process things, it's so much more of an advantage. So that 30 to 37, you know, you're physically okay to do it. Mentally, you're never better. That's why you see a lot of great quarterbacks in their prime over 30 years of age. But now we have such a younger generation of quarterbacks, we kind of got to wait for this wave to kind of push them along and see what they are. You know, Sanchez was promising in his first 2 years, and that didn't work out. And you'll see that kind of thing with a number of other quarterbacks. Mariota's the latest example.
Yeah, at least he won 4 playoff games for me. I'll say that. No, he did. He did.
He beat Manning and Brady.
Oh, my God. Right. But Rex Ryan wasn't a good coach, though. And all he did is win 4 playoff games with Mark Sanchez as his quarterback, like you said, beating Brady and Manning on the road in consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And all I hear about with Mark Sanchez is the butt fumble. I mean, it disgusts me when I hear that. That's all they talk about with this guy, but he won more playoff games than any quarterback in the history of the franchise.
You go, Joe. You go.
I'm serious.
It. Yeah.
And Rex, how much I wish Rex was still a coach. Oh, my God. I mean, I mean, no, I do. I mean, one of the biggest mistake Woody Johnson made, beside buying the team, the biggest mistake he made was getting rid. He should have left Tannenbaum and Rex alone. He should have left them alone. When he dumped Tannenbaum and brought that clown Idzik in, that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah,
and here they are, 9 straight years now without a playoff appearance.
Mm.
Unbelievable. Again, we're talking to Bob Glauber. All right, Daniel Jones, you like him?
I do like him, Joe. I do. There are throws that he makes and plays that he makes, decisions he makes that tell you, okay, he's got it, and it's just, you know, it's a matter of time, and it's a matter of getting players around him. Now, the offensive line is not good. It's not good enough, I should say. It's better than last year, but it's still not good enough. But he, you know, his accuracy is really good, very smart, very tough. I think he'll be good over time.
How about our quarterback? How about Donald?
Our guy, Sammy?
Yes. Yes.
I like Darnold. I like his toughness. You know, he's a little bit unorthodox in terms, and he's not that classic drop back, throw it, look. But he makes throws on the run, which I like. You know, Roethlisberger has made a career at doing
sure.
that.
Yep.
And I love his leadership, love his maturity. I mean, I talk to him and listen to him, and I'm like, man, this guy's 22. He's got it together. I thought he did a really good job of recovering from the seeing ghosts moment against the Patriots. That was an embarrassing mm-hmm. thing for a young man.
Slightly.
And you want to see how he comes out of it. He did great. He did great. So he's got to be equipped. Now, his offensive line is worse. I mean, the Jets' offensive line is worse than the Giants. He was under siege. You just can't have that. So that's where Joe Douglas comes in.
Yep,
and if Joe Douglas, an offensive lineman himself, can fix that, those guys up front, then Darnold will be a much better quarterback. So I do believe that the Giants and Jets do have quarterbacks who will be good for a pretty long period of time.
All right, Bob Glauber again joining us. A couple more things before I let you go, and I could talk to you, you know, all day, but, you know how it is.
Sorry.
The officiating in this league, I can't take it anymore. It stinks. It's brutal. And the league does nothing about – how is it possible, okay? And I'm not a Raider fan, okay? But how is it possible that an NFL team in this day and age – with the way these guys can't wait to throw the flags, and with the way that they've made these guys, you know, whether it's Mike Pereira, Gene Steratore, Dean Blandino, they all make me want to vomit these guys, okay? They made superstars out of these guys, all right? Okay?
Well, okay.
Let me say this. How is it possible that the Kansas City Chiefs won an entire game without a penalty? How's that possible in this NFL?
Yeah, well, Andy Reid, great coach.
Oh, come on.
Disciplined.
Come on. Stop. Stop it. Give me a break. Look, they didn't have one holding penalty in this game? Not
yeah,
one?
And most of these crews are flag happy. You know,
of course
they're just
are.
More than willing to throw the flag. That's a tough one, Joe. I think the officiating has been inconsistent, erratic. I don't know what more you can do. People say, well, make them full-time officials. Too late for that. They already signed a new collective bargaining agreement.
Oh,
it's done. They're actually having fewer full-time officials. But it's a really hard sport to officiate. Happens so fast. I think, you know, if they get 95% of calls right, say maybe 90, right? That's a pretty good percentage, but 10% is a lot to get wrong, and it really casts a pall over a lot of games. And then you got these guys, you know, you mentioned Steratore.
My God.
I love listening. Pereira's a great listen.
Give
and
me
I,
a break.
I really like it's
what,
helpful.
What is there to like? Why?
No,
these guys have been made
what,
celebrities now.
That's
these
right,
guys
but
are
you,
now
but
they're making millions of dollars. They don't want to be officials anymore. There's too many damn rules. Let's be honest.
Right.
There's too many rules. There's too many things you can review. There's too many officials on the field.
But Joe, what would you do if you were in their position? Would you rather be making, you know, X amount with the NFL for $500,000, $1 million?
But this just against,
or just
but Bob,
you know,
this just goes to show you how they're glorifying these officials. I mean, what's going to be next? You're going to be able to buy. I can go buy my Walt Anderson official referee's jersey on NFL Shop. Go
and
get
hand
it.
Warmers. Walt Anderson
go get
hand
it.
Warmers.
Go
I love
get
it.
It. Let me get That's the Jerome Bogar, you know, referee hat. It's a joke. Nobody wants to see this. There's too many rules, Bob. Too many. Let's play football. Football, please.
I get it. I get it.
Please. Why every play do I got to wait 10 seconds to see if there's a flag or not? It's a joke.
You feel better?
No. No, no, it's ruining the sport I love, these officials. And they've been made stars. Because now you not only got to beat the other team, you got to beat the officials too. You do.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest on-field issue that they got to deal with. You know, they protect quarterbacks.
But they don't care. They protect certain quarterbacks. This year I've seen a couple. I saw Josh Allen get a helmet-to-helmet this year, okay? And the guy didn't get thrown out of the game. I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick get a helmet-to-helmet. They didn't even call a penalty. And then 6 plays later, they made the guy go into the concussion protocol. What? Because he's not anointed. You got to be an anointed quarterback. You got to be Tom Brady. You got to be Aaron Rodgers. Even Baker Mayfield, who's done nothing in this league, is now an anointed quarterback in the NFL. Let's be real. He is. He's doing commercials. He's this. He's Baker Mayfield. He's 5-7. His team stinks. Give me a break.
You are on fire,
oh
man.
My God. When it comes to the officials, I hate them all. I can't stand them. I hate them. They're ruining this sport. And this nonsense about safety, that's nonsense too. It's all done for political correctness because this commissioner, if he could add 2 more games to the league schedule, he'd do it in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And what is that promoting safety in the league? Let's play 18 games? Give me a break, Bob.
All right. Look,
I'm serious. It makes me nuts.
Okay. It's fair. But honestly, Joe, the game is still surviving, thriving. It's still the best game in town.
Of course.
And it's maybe partly because we have these kind of discussions where we're just so into it, and it makes us crazy a little bit, some more than others. this is great. Could we talk like every week, if it's not on the air?
Come on. Right? All right. We'll do. We can do that. Now,
I'll just call you at home.
Home. You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, I go nuts about this stuff. Now, before I let you go, because I could do the whole show with you, but Ernie says I can't. All right. So let's go through some of these guys that are with the Hall of Fame stuff. Does Carl Banks have any shot to get in?
I think it's going to be tough for Carl, but he's got to get to the final 15.
Right.
He's got 1 Pro Bowl, 1 All-Pro. Now is when you get down to it's going to be tough. I think he's been a great player. I think often overshadowed because of Harry Carson and Lawrence Taylor.
Right,
I think he's
a
great player in his own right. I'm just thinking of the overall voting. You know, you got 45 people. It's going to be tough. If he can get to 15, then he'll have a shot. But you're talking about 25, and you get down to 5. Mm. 5 out of 25 finalists are getting in. It's crazy.
Rondé Barber, lock? He should be a lock, Rondé Barber.
I don't know if he'll be a lock the first time, or I don't know if I think this is his first time, but I think he is a Hall of Fame caliber cornerback.
Mm-hmm. Now he should be in. I mean, to me, he should absolutely be in. All right, let's see. Let's a couple other guys here before I let you go. One other guy I want to throw out. This guy's a lock. Troy Polamalu. He's a lock.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that is no doubt that he's a Hall of Famer.
Yep. I think he will be the one first ballot guaranteed.
You think so?
Like, I think he's in. Yeah, I do. I think it'll be very little. We'll not need to have a lot of discussion on Troy Polamalu because his play and his stats and his, you know, wow factor kind of speaks for itself.
All right, two guys I'm going to throw at you, the two Ram receivers, Holt and Isaac Bruce. Both of them Hall of Famers, yes or no?
Yes, I think they are Hall of Famers. I think, you know, Holt has a little bit gaudier numbers, but Bruce, very unselfish player who did whatever he had to do. I think they're both Hall of Fame caliber receivers. Now, that may have to be where they wait like Tim Brown did for a long time, and Chris Carter and Andre Reed. They may be in that category, but I do think both of them are Hall of Fame caliber.
And does my guy Klecko, he's not here, does he ever get in, Klecko, ever?
Well, you know, Klecko is now, you know, in the seniors, and there's a chance he gets in with this big, you know, big group, one-time-only group. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not on that committee. So I don't know how that vote's going to go. And they don't have to face, you know, whoever gets in by this Blue Ribbon Committee or nominated will get in. There's no vote, no similar vote like we have for the 25 semifinalists and the 15, you know, once it gets down to 15.
Mm. Bob, it is always a pleasure. Now, before I let you go, Super Bowl, who's in the Super Bowl? Four weeks to go. Who do you like?
All right. I'll take this is so hard because it changes every week.
No, I understand.
Yeah, but I'll take New Orleans. And, you know, just like not thinking it through entirely, I'll take Kansas City. I think Kansas City is kind of coming back from the weeds. You know, they had a couple of losses, but they're playing well at the right time, and their defense is playing really well. If they can beat New England on the road, then I think, you know, more people will be mentioning them.
Interesting. Bob, it's always a pleasure. You want to come on next week, whatever you want to do. I'll get your number from Ernie, and I'll call you, and we could talk football like once or whatever you want to do. We could break down the top 100 team if you want to do that. We could break that. By the way, Junior Seau should not be there, but that's me. We could get into that for a long time. Anyway, you know what I mean? Ray Nitschke's got to be there ahead of Junior Seau, but what do I know? Anyway, we'll leave that alone. Bob, it's always a pleasure. Your book again. Yeah, promote the book again one more time.
Yeah, Guts and Genius.
Yep.
Story of three unlikely coaches who dominated the NFL in the 80s. It's Gibbs, Walsh, and Parcells. I'm fascinated, Joe, that every coach in today's NFL, every one of them has some roots back to Parcells and Walsh.
Yeah.
Gibbs not so much, but those guys have tremendous coaching trees, and it is evident in today's game. But that, like you said, Joe, that 80s era was tremendous. I didn't realize it when I was watching it, but, man, in hindsight, that was a great era of football.
No doubt about it. And, Bob, when I retire, I'm going to get in touch with you, and you and I will sit down and we will collaborate on the history of the disgrace of a franchise that the New York Jets are, okay?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Are you in for that or what?
I'm in. It'll take a while, though.
Well, it'll take a long time, you know. But, you know, hey.
We got a lot of years to cover. We got a lot of decades to cover.
Yes, it's only been 51. Bob, always a pleasure, Bob.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you having me.
Bob Glauber. All right, 877-337-6666. What do we got now?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.